Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's Mail It In Friday.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, Gord Miller, Josie Altidore will join us with TFC in a few minutes. Josh Lewenberg in Vegas.
Where apparently it's not work.
Yeah, well, I don't think it is work if it's in Vegas. I mean, technically it's work, but it's a gig. You don't get credit for, like, flying down there, and it's a four-hour trip, and I can't believe you got to fly in the middle seat coach on the way down there. Like, you're not going to get any sympathy from anybody if it's Vegas.
What about Chicago?
Same thing. Chicago, like, it's got to be, like,
okay, so let's
Flint, Michigan. If you're going to Flint.
St. Louis.
I've never been to St. Louis, so I don't have a take on St. Louis. St. Louis is such an irrelevant American city.
What?
It is. Explain to me why anyone would be like, I have to go to St. Louis.
You called St. Louis irrelevant. It was one of the great sports cities in America.
I'm telling you, though.
The Cardinals
are great. They don't have a football team anymore.
No, they lost that.
They got a hockey team, and they've been around for a long time. Don't have a basketball team. How is it one of America's great sports towns if they don't have a football or basketball team?
I shouldn't put that. But the Cardinals are, I mean, one of the iconic franchises in sports.
Absolutely. I would love to go there to see a Cards game. I've heard it's a cool town. I'm not saying that it isn't, but this is the thing about this.
You said it irrelevant.
But here's what I mean by that.
Is Kansas City irrelevant?
Yes. Here's what I mean by that in the States. The States is so huge that once you get...
So huge.
Once you get past New York, Boston... Chicago, Toronto, LA, San Francisco, DC, maybe Miami.
Seattle?
Maybe Seattle, maybe Atlanta. Once you get past that, there's a million. I wouldn't even include Philly in that.
What?
Philly's not a destination. Like Philly, New Orleans, Milwaukee.
Wait a minute.
Kansas City.
Hold on. New Orleans?
Yes, New Orleans.
You don't like New Orleans?
I've never been to New Orleans. The point I'm making, though, Gord, is it's so far down the list of cities that come to mind when the States is so huge that they've got all these cities where you're like San Antonio, Dallas. What are those places? But there's like a million and a half people there.
What are those places?
Well, Denver. Let's see. You know, like there's just, they've got so many big cities, but they're not New York, Chicago, L.A., San Fran, you know, the big boys. That's what I mean by that.
Your disdain for cities is amazing because you've slagged Winnipeg already today.
Yeah.
You called St. Louis irrelevant.
Well, in terms of how it matches up with other cities in the States, that's what I mean by that. I'm not saying I wouldn't love St. Louis or I'll never go to St. Louis. I'm saying if you asked me to pick 10 places in the United States I really want to go to, there's no way St. Louis would be in the top 10.
The places I don't like, I shouldn't say, the places I like less than others are the ones that have lousy downtowns.
And there's a lot of them in the States.
So I don't love Atlanta, because downtown's a ghost town at night. So we stay downtown. When you're down there for a game, no games were anymore in Atlanta, but you stay downtown, there's nothing to do. St. Louis is a little bit like that. I mean, but Cardinals games are...
No, I'm sure going to a ball game would be cool.
I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, KMOX is like the legendary... sports radio station of all time.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Bob Costas worked there. I mean, the roster of people that worked at KMOX is...
We got Josie Altidore on the line. I highly doubt he cares about St. Louis. Do you think he cares about St. Louis?
I think he does. I think Josie cares about St. Louis.
All right, here's Josie Altidore, striker for TFC. What's happening, Josie?
How you guys doing?
We're doing well, man. Have you ever been to St. Louis? Do you have any love for St. Louis?
I have, man. I played a game in St. Louis, a soccer game in St. Louis, there was like 55,000 people there, so I love St. Louis.
Wow.
See?
There you go. It is a great sports town.
Take that.
You called it, Gord. So how you feeling, man? You're coming off the injury. You've been back a while now. How are you feeling in terms of game shape and performance?
I mean, I've been back a week. I mean, I played my first game last weekend, and I mean, I feel like I'm about as good as I can be, right? I mean, I think I need some time to kind of just get my game rhythm back, but I'm just happy to be back with the team and just back with the group. It sucks being on your own and being injured and being like off to the side. It's no fun.
So you're back, and your team needs you badly. Realistically, what are Toronto's playoff hopes?
I mean, I'm not. It's tough to say. I'm not one to play with percentages and all that. I think we have 14 games left, and you know we got to win a bunch of those games. But I think it's there for us. I think we're a team that surprised a lot of people in the past 2 years in terms of the amount of win streaks we're able to put together and the type of game that we played. So it's all there for us. It won't be easy, but I definitely think it's possible.
You're kind of getting credit with, even though you've only been back for a game, Jovinko's game kind of going through the roof. How much do you two connect in terms of what you bring on the pitch, and how much do you two kind of feed off each other when you're at your best form?
Yeah, well, of course. You know, we definitely feed off each other. Seba is and always will be a special player. He was MVP in 2015 for obvious reasons. So, you know, it's obviously great to have him clicking, but it's a group effort. You know, soccer isn't a game where you can rely on one guy to kind of, you know, carry the load. So we're going to need a bunch of guys to down this stretch and now contribute and help us out.
With Jozy Altidore here on Overdrive.
So, you know, when you talk about trying to climb back, you guys have played a lot of soccer. You had, you know, the run last year to the MLS final. You had the CONCACAF Champions League. You've got the Canadian Championship as well, which could get you back in the Champions League. Is fatigue a factor for a team like this?
I think it's. I mean, it's an element, right? I mean, you can't deny that. 18, 20 guys, and a bunch of games with, you know, little rest over preseason. Soccer's a game, you run a lot, the body gets a lot of wear and tear, so you're going to have guys drop down a little bit over the course of a year. But I think what makes us strong is our depth, and we need guys now to step up and the guys that are coming back to kind of give a bolt of energy to the guys that have been basically hanging on by a thread for us to give us a chance to make the playoffs again.
With Jozy Altidore of TFC, and you're going to need that home crowd to get behind you guys. Yet, you know, the supporters have been they've been dealing with some problems recently, man. They got
hasn't been something you want to see.
No, I mean,
some trouble out there.
What's that? That's the beauty, though, of going to BMO and soccer games all over the world is people are bringing in stuff that just no other sporting event ever allows. And now the supporters have been penalized; they can't bring in a lot of the different things that they were bringing in, but. How different do you think BMO could be here and could feel considering some of the fan base and especially the diehards have been neutered here a little bit?
I mean, obviously, you don't want to see that. Those people love this team. I follow the team from day one, and those are the ones you want, you know, in the trenches with you. But at the same time, you know, there's about 20,000 other fans out there that we expect to come and support us tomorrow night and be that 12th man. So in the end, you know, there's no excuses on our part. Do we want to have a full stadium rocking and all that? Obviously. But right now, with where we're at, there's no way to point fingers at things like that. We just have to buckle down and try to go on a run here and try to surprise some people and get in the playoffs.
We know you love sports. We see it Raptor games. We see it Leaf games. We see it around town. What do you think of the Kawhi Leonard deal?
It's tough, man. I mean, you know, DeMar was here such a long time, and he's done so much for the city, so it's not easy saying goodbye to a guy like that. But at the same time, you know, it kind of gives you some optimism, right? Some new hope. You get a guy that, you know, has done really well over his time in San Antonio and is a big player in the NBA. And hopefully he can transform that over here in the East and help Toronto, you know, get over that hump because we're right there, really. And then we need a couple pieces to kind of take us over that hump. So hopefully Kawhi is a guy that can come right away and help those guys out.
That's a good sales pitch, man. We need that because no one's ever heard from Kawhi Leonard. Like, I don't know if you've been following this, but he doesn't talk to anyone.
I heard, man. I thought the same thing. I was like, where is this guy at? They say he's in Toronto, but I have yet to see this man. So
no, I know.
If you guys see Kawhi, if you're listening, man, you need a tour. Let me know, bro. I got you, man.
Okay, so you'll show him the city as kind of a guy that's not from here.
Leave. Just got to take him to a few places, man. You know, take him there, he'll know. He'll okay. never want to go.
All right. Do you have a go-to
can't
spot?
Say it on air. I can't,
no, okay, you won't say
where,
that?
Where
right,
the places are, but... You know, quiet him yet, bro. I got you.
All right. We'll make sure to pass your details on because I'm sure he's looking for that, right? I mean, that's the beauty of Toronto. If you're a star like you or like Kawhi or any of these big guys, man, the access must be incredible behind the scenes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. I mean, you have everything you want in a big city. You have it here in Toronto. And at the end of the day, this is a city that is a sports city. They love their sports. They love their big players. And there's no greater place for him to make a mark than in an amazing sports city like Toronto.
Well, we're looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to seeing what you guys have going on this weekend. Best of luck getting back into that playoff chase and staying healthy down the road. We really appreciate you doing this today.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
There's Jozy Altidore. He's got some spots for Kawhi. You can't stay on the air, and I don't blame him. But he can show him a good time and show him what it's like to be a star.
It'll be the welcome wagon, right? It'll be like, welcome to Toronto, man.
Well, we asked Marner about that today, like, because Marner was heavily involved in the Tavares video pitch and being a part of that. Like, I don't think Masai Ujiri's calling up Altidore or Marner or Donaldson or, you know, asking players on other teams to promote the city.
No, but I don't think you'd ask, because Kawhi Leonard's not that kind of guy. Now, if you're getting, I don't know, just pick someone who's more outspoken and more outgoing, then maybe you do that, right? But I think with Kawhi, less is more, right? Because, really, he's made it very clear how he wants to proceed, which is under the radar.
No kidding. I think that would be very nerve-wracking.
What?
Well, when he gets here originally, and you're trying to figure out what he's looking for, like, trying to figure out what he wants, because you've got to get to the bottom of that.
Well, I would think he'd like to win.
Of course, but I'm talking about, you know, living arrangements, right, where he wants to go out to eat.
You know what's sad for a lot of the athletes that come here? The Blue Jays, you know, guys like that just live right near where they play, and the only part of the city they ever see is when they go to the, you know, on the QEW to go to the airport. Like, I always admire Paul Molitor. Molitor lived up in Lawrence Park. You know, Patrick Marleau lives in Lawrence Park. Like, mm-hmm.
R.A. Dickey allegedly used to live in Mississauga, which I always found hysterical. Well, Mississauga, like in like some cul-de-sac in Mississauga, which is fine. I have nothing against Mississauga.
Married guys live in Oakville and places like that. I mean,
well, I think Tavares lives in Oakville. Like, he built a house in Oakville, and I'm pretty sure
he's from there. So,
yeah, and that's where he's going to live. But he could live downtown.
A lot of the Leafs live out in Oakville and Mississauga because the practice rink.
I don't think the young guys are out there.
No, not the young guys.
Yeah. But you're right. Marleau is up in North Toronto.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because he's not from here, and he must have spoken to somebody, and they must have told him where he wants to be. But I wonder if that was about where his kids want to go to school,
right,
where he wants his kids to play hockey.
Right. There's that too. And he always wanted a rink in the backyard, right?
He's got that ability. Yeah. But you could get that. Yeah, you know, not right downtown in a condo, but if he lived in the beach or something, he could do that.
The problem with the beach is you got to go to the MasterCard Center. That's a long way, right?
But Young and York Mills ain't exactly right around the corner either.
Across the 401 and down. The funniest one was Lou Lamoriello lived in Yorkville, which was hysterical. So you'd see Lou, like, you know, he had a favorite restaurant, Vaticano. Loved that spot.
Oh, is that the spot? Yeah. I heard it was a different spot.
No, he loved Vaticano.
And he'd be there every single night, I heard.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not kidding.
No,
every
no,
single
no,
night.
No. And I think he ate the same thing. But so there's Lou, like, in Yorkville with all the swanky, you know, like.
He's a swanky man, Lou Lamoriello. Well, you're right, though. There's so many. When he lived here, when he was playing here, I think he said he lived somewhere on the Danforth.
Dwayne Casey lived on my old street at Young and Summerhill.
Really?
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, there's a guy. But if you're here for seven years.
Do you know who lived on my street? Dimitri Krstic. Remember Dimitri Krstic?
Absolutely. Number eight, I think he was.
He lived right down there.
He had some great years in the league.
He did.
Great years.
He lived like a few houses down from us. And there was a road hockey game on the street we used to have all the time. And he came out and played for like 10 minutes and never said a word. And all the kids were intimidated because it was a Leaf, you know, playing road hockey with him, and no one said a thing to him.
So he'd just show up and start playing.
He just showed up, started playing a little bit, and then just kind of...
Just the Kawhi Leonard move. Yeah. Don't say a word.
He never looked like...
Watch Kawhi surprise you. Kawhi will live...
He'll do stand-up comedy at Yuck Yucks, and he'll like...
He'll live in Don Mills. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'll throw people off and be like, what? Is that Kawhi? Why is he at the shops at Don Mills? Because he lives right around the corner.
Didn't Elton John have a place up in King City?
Yes, I believe he still has a spot up on like a side road up north of the city. I thought it was closer to Angus Glen.
And Prince lived in the Bridle Path. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I heard a weird thing about the Bridle Path recently. I haven't driven through there in a long time.
I biked through it. When I biked home from here, I biked through the Bridle Path.
Was it, like, well-kept? I heard it was just kind of like a mess.
Beautiful. No, they all have landscapers. Yeah, it was gorgeous. There's one place there that I bike by that looks pretty run down. Like it looks like it's been foreclosed on.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
There's one place.
Okay, but you didn't drive down every single road,
no.
Like Post Road, Bridle Path, all of them. Like
I went on Bridle Path and Post Road.
Those are your two.
Post Road goes east-west, Bridle Path goes north-south.
Right, and then there's two other ones that go...
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I biked by the Granite Club. I tried to wave at Mike Johnson on the way by, but he wouldn't.
Johnny, big time to you?
No, they had the moat filled and the arches were up, so I didn't want to go in because they'd probably gun me down.
Yeah. You feel uncomfortable when you're at the Granite Club. Like, I've never been a member, obviously, but I have been there before. And I'm like, I can tell people, no, I shouldn't be here.
You know what? Because you walk in feeling that way. So
yeah, you're like, I don't belong here.
And you exude that.
Yes, you know, exactly. You know what I mean? A complete lack of confidence. Yeah,
I always say at the Olympics, the key is at the Olympics, if you wear a suit and walk like you know where you're going, you can go anywhere at the Olympics.
Well, O says that about the ACC, which is a horrible thing to say and to promote and to tell people. But he says, if you walk around there in a suit and look like you're put together... The security just assumes that you're a player or you're an executive or whatever.
But when you walk into the Granite Club and you start looking at the ceiling and fidgeting and,
you know that you don't belong. If you're exuding a complete lack of confidence, you're going to get smoked out.
Yeah.
Josh Lewenberg will join us from Vegas on what Kyle Lowry said or didn't say earlier today. DeMar DeRozan hating on Masai Ujiri. Kind of an awkward vibe down there.
What was he hating?
He was openly hating on Masai. Like he said,
there's no need for a relationship.
No relationship. It's done. Not happening. No, I don't. That's his way of being like, I don't like this guy. I feel slighted by this guy, which he has.
Were you traded in junior?
I technically was, but it was like it was such an irrelevant. It was the Kansas City or St. Louis of trades.
Okay, you were traded to St. Louis in the OHL?
Yes, I was traded from St. Louis to Kansas City
in the OHL.
Yeah, basically.
Because I do know this. A lot of players who have been traded out of situations they like will always have a grudge.
Absolutely. They're humans.
And you know what's funny? And that's why gamblers love to get a hold of professional athletes. Because they will always have biases. Right? So if you don't like... Say you played for John Tortorella. And you hated John Tortorella. If you're a gambler, you'll always bet against Columbus. Even if it's a bad bet. That's why professional athletes fall prey to gamblers. Because they have biases. And gambling on sports is hard, but there's also that. But when you hate a guy, it is funny though. Like Steve Eisman and Scotty Bowman were not good for a long time,
but they were working together though,
and then they got it figured out, and actually are very close now.
Well, every hard ass coach, and there's a lot of them, and usually the hard ass coaches are the ones that survive.
Right.
Have a track record of players that cannot stand them.
So I wondered, like, if you asked Taylor Hall, what do you think of Peter Chiarelli? Because he was devastated by that trade, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting
one. I wonder, he would never say, but...
I'll bet you he doesn't like him. I'll bet you he loves that he shoved it in his face and that he's become kind of a whipping boy in Edmonton. That's got to be gratifying.
Oh, for sure.
If you're Taylor Hall.
Players, I mean, hey, listen, make no mistake about it. When you get traded, I know Chris Pronger, you talk about this, the four teams that traded Chris Pronger all missed the playoffs the next year. He loved that.
Oh, you would want that team to be awful. Awful.
Yeah.
Which is strange because you had a lot of friends on the team.
Right. So, yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't treat you poorly.
No.
The GM did.
But there's always this thing about getting traded that they didn't want you anymore. Sometimes they traded you because you're an asset they have and they needed something else more.
That's the DeMar scenario.
Right.
Like this wasn't, we don't like you. It's, we can get Kawhi, right. So we have to trade you.
Yeah, because they won't take anyone else.
Exactly. Where Hall was, I think we don't like him that much anymore, personally. I know they said, well, it's because we needed a defenseman, all that kind of stuff. That was followed by, we needed a culture change. There's been a lot of losing around here.
Like, I wonder when Max Pacioretty gets traded by Montreal, I wonder what he'll say about Mark Bergevin.
I don't think it'll be nice. Meanwhile, with Carlson, if Erik Karlsson gets dealt, I don't think he can take a run at Pierre Dorion.
No,
I think it's the owner he's got to take a run at if he wants to take a run at somebody.
Yeah, it is a funny one, though, because players get their back up about getting dealt. I get it. But, you know, even in New Jersey, Ray Shiro, after Hall's first season in Jersey, had a meeting with him at the end of the year and said, okay, the trade's over. Like, move on. You're a Devil now. Like,
and look what he did.
And we need you to be a New Jersey Devil, a lead dog for us. And so I guess DeRozan needs more than a week. I don't know.
Well, and that's the – it doesn't matter how he feels right now.
His body language in that interview, he's really hurt.
He's absolutely devastated.
And you feel badly for him. I mean, even though you know it's part of the deal, it's part of the gig, right? I mean, that's why you make the millions of dollars. It's all part of it. But, man, like, he really took it hard.
He did.
I mean, when you think about it, we've talked about this, Brian. Like, after all the guys that played for the Raptors that couldn't get out of town fast enough, Damon Stoudemire, Vince Carter, Chris Bosh, Tracy McGrady, you go on and on, right? Guys who couldn't leave town fast enough.
Guys who didn't even show up, Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah. You know, and now you got a guy who was devastated. I mean, I don't remember a Leaf being this devastated he was traded.
No, I can't think of anybody else.
I mean, Wendell Clark was, but he wouldn't say it in public.
He was crying publicly, so that was a pretty good testament to how he was feeling. But in this century, I can't think of anybody on any team, any of the Toronto teams that was this devastated and going on a parade of devastation the way that DeRozan has.
Well, that's what I think is not serving him well. I don't think, and to your point, This might not play well in San Antonio.
No, he's got to smarten up soon, I think, from that standpoint. And he's got to get out in front of, hey, I'm embracing San Antonio now.
Yeah.
This is going
to
be awesome.
I can't wait to play for Greg Popovich.
Because that's where you're playing, man. Like, there's no turning back the clock now.
Yeah, they're not going to undo the deal.
You're playing in San Antonio next year. And more than likely, maybe for the rest of your career. Like, he's got, I think, 3 more years left on his deal. For the next 3 years, he's going to be in San Antonio. And you got Popovich, and you got a team that has high expectations, much higher than the Raptors have ever had. As good as the Raptors have been recently, nothing matches the Spurs in terms of expectations.
You are playing for arguably, I mean, right now Golden State is the gold standard, but I mean, really over the last 20 years, San Antonio has been the gold standard in the NBA. They have been the model franchise.
No question. The epitome of success, the Spurs. The epitome
in everything
of
they do, the way they develop players, the way they play, the selflessness, the team first. I mean, I don't know anyone that could legitimately look at San Antonio and say, I hate that team. Like, maybe they play against your arch rival, you don't like them, but if you like sports,
you've got to respect what they've
been. If you like sports, you love the way. Like, I can see people hating the New England Patriots. I can't.
Well, Popovich though has some Belichick in him too. I mean, there is reasons to hate how pompous he is, how snide he can be. You know, I'm too good for answering this question. He gets away with it for some reason.
He does it in a funny way, though.
But I don't know if it's always being funny. Like, I don't know if it actually is. Like, sometimes it's like, are you serious, man? We're just you're up by 20. Can you give us an answer?
Yeah, sure.
Like, you know, like it. After a while,
how good would it be if the NFL cut a deal with NBC and said the coach has to be interviewed at halftime and Bill Belichick, like.
I wonder how. I don't think he'd respond.
He's awful on a Tuesday at noon.
Yeah.
Can you imagine him on Sunday night at halftime?
No, he wouldn't say anything. He'd do it out of obligation, like he does with all of his media. He is obligated to speak. He has to go out and do it. But he would, on purpose, do what Popovich always does, and he'd just give one-word answers.
Who's the worst interview you ever had?
The worst interview I've ever had. I can't think of one off the top of my head that was just so awful and painful. But I've had many over the years. Many.
I love him as a guy, but I worked at Edmonton starting out. Grant Fuhr, God love him.
I've interviewed Grant Fuhr, very tough.
Grant, you made 74 saves a night for a shutout. Yeah, you know, guys cleared the rebounds. Yeah. Well, you stopped 9 breakaways. Yeah, you know.
Not comfortable speaking.
He just
didn't want to give you anything.
No, and just was honestly just like completely unfazed by everything.
Yeah, I've had many over the years. Now, to be fair, I'm sure I put myself in a position to set it up for a bad interview, where if you don't ask the right questions,
you
come out
questions,
with the wrong tone. I mean, it's not always the interviewee that sewered everything.
My favorite interview is Erik Karlsson.
Never had a chance to interview
him. Because he's whip smart. He kind of gets the absurdity of it all. You can talk to him about it. Like, I always feel awkward talking, so sometimes we interview guys on headsets between periods. That's not the time to ask a guy, you know, a question outside the game normally. Karlsson will go anywhere. Like, I did a game this year, and he had a terrible giveaway in the first period. And I said, kind of a tough first period for Ottawa. It was a tough first period for Ottawa. How about me? Like he just totally, like.
Those guys are just a dream come true for the media. But they're a rare breed.
But
man.
At the same time, we shouldn't judge people based on being good interviews. Just because you're not a good interview doesn't mean...
Oh, I'm not talking about who they are personally or how gregarious they might be behind the scenes.
But you know how it is, Brian. Like, guys that get along with the media get along, right? Like, they get more, they get better publicity, they get better, right?
Oh, it's smart to do it. Like, the media is no different than anyone else. They can be manipulated easily. You, know, you get someone who treats
Ted
you well. And
Ted Williams, right? I mean, he probably got... He probably got cheated out of, not cheated, but he probably lost two MVP votes because he wiped his feet on the media all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds hated by the media because he was a jackass all the time to the media. And even with the steroids, the guy's still one of the great players of all time. And he gets no love because people are like...
Steroids didn't make him hit 330.
No, or win MVPs in Pittsburgh before he even got to San Francisco.
He was a Pittsburgh Pirate. He tore me apart one day in Montreal. Just ripped me to pieces.
So you were actually on the other end of it. You've been on the other end of Barry Bonds?
Yeah. I've been... Reggie Jackson? Oof.
There's some bad ones out there. This guy's been listening for a long time because Jason just tweeted in and saying, your worst interview ever was Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
What?
That was like 6 years ago.
What was it? Who was Brutus the Barber Beefcake?
So he was a wrestler. Do you not know Brutus the Barber?
Apparently not.
He was a great wrestler. Like this was back in the late 80s, and he had a big profile.
Not a wrestling guy at all.
Like he was like on the main card tag team with Hogan.
I despise professional wrestling. Okay. So go ahead.
So I remember this interview, and that was totally my fault. It was not the barber's fault. I'm calling him the barber.
Because you're his buddy.
But this was what led to this being such a cringeworthy interview. I had this ridiculous idea. I guess I thought I was being funny or edgy. And I asked him while we were on the air live, should I be calling you Brutus? Should I be calling you the Beefcake? What about your real name? And he wasn't impressed. So from that point on, it became cringeworthy because he hated my guts immediately during the interview and then was not giving me anything. He might have hung up. Like, he might have said, I got to go.
Really?
Yeah, because he was like, and to be fair to him, what the hell was I doing while we're live on the air being a clown and being like, so should I call you Brutus or what are you, the Beefcake? What do you want? Like, and he was like, I don't know, man. Like, call me whatever. But at the same time, don't call me anything because I think I'm done here.
Yeah, baseball players, I've had, I've been on the receiving end. And it wasn't, I mean, the Barry Bonds thing was just kind of, he was just mad at the world. And I just happened to ask the next question.
That happens. Josh Lewenberg will join us from Vegas. He was in the scrum.
I hope he's a good interview today, Josh.
Would be good. And we'll get a take on the mood of Lowry. Like, are we reading this wrong? Like, was he being... Coy was funny.
I watched it, and
he doesn't look happy.
No,
to me, he looks like he's rattled still about the DeRozan trade, and he doesn't want to talk about Leonard. And I think it's a ridiculous stance. Personally, I think he could have gotten all of this out of the way, could have given the very obvious and lock, stock, and barrel type of answers, like, "Yeah, I'm going to miss DeMar. We love Kawhi. We'll see what happens. Moving on." But that's not the way he reacts.
I'm worried you're going to be cranky now going into the last half hour here because you've been doing 5 hours of radio today. So
I'm starting to run out of steam here.
You're running out of gas.
So I need your A game with Josh Lewenberg. You're up.
You're asking a lot.
Okay, Josh will join us next. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes, and you can mail it in on a Friday with Skip the Dishes at skipthedishes.com. Use the promo code OVERDRIVE for $7 off your first order when you spend $15 or more. So go to skipthedishes.com and use the promo code OVERDRIVE for $7 off your first order when you spend $15 or more. We're going to head down to Vegas here in just a moment.
Make sure you have green peppers on your pizza from. Make sure you have green peppers on the pizza from Skip the Dishes. And then Brian Hayes will not take a slice of your pizza.
I did not go near that. No, I didn't.
No.
Green pepper, the worst pepper.
You have some strong opinions on things. Like St. Louis is irrelevant. Green peppers are the worst peppers.
Yeah. Challenge me on them not being the worst pepper. How can they not be the worst
pepper?
Because
they have the best flavor. They have the most... Green peppers are the most used pepper.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. People use green peppers way more than any other.
Based on what, though?
Like in salads? Stuff like that? Green peppers are always in salads.
Not a green pepper guy. It's weird, because I love a pepper. I like red, yellow, and orange peppers. I could go after those all day. Every day. Green pepper?
I don't think they Heisman. Put, hang on. Did they put red peppers on pizzas? I guess they do.
I'm sure you could ask for that. Sure, why
but
not?
But green peppers are way more popular.
But maybe you've just like accepted that that's the case. Where if you went the extra mile.
I'm not railing against the man like you are.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not standing up to power like you are.
I'm a man of the people.
Okay.
People are saying...
People are saying that you are the hardest working man in show business and green peppers are...
The worst pepper.
Apparently
he lies.
Sort of,
oh, he lies.
I didn't know Mullen was such a big green pepper guy. Here's our Raptors reporter live from Vegas, Josh Lewenberg. What's up, Josh?
Not too much, Brian. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Do you think Kyle Lowry would answer if he likes green peppers?
You'd have a better shot at that.
He's going to answer. He'll give you words, but those words will probably be, I don't know.
I don't know.
He doesn't know which pepper he likes.
Kyle, right. have you had pizza? I don't know.
I don't know.
What was that all about when he was asked about Kawhi? Like, paint us a picture. So I'm assuming it was all Toronto media that was surrounding him.
Yeah, it was Dave Festchuk, Michael Grange, and myself, and we tried just about every way you can think of to get something out of Kyle Lowry, and I guess, I mean, maybe I was the winner there. I asked him about DeMar DeRozan, and he gave me something that was sort of sounding like a coherent sentence, but outside of that, everything was, I'm here for USA Basketball, and this was not a surprise. We tried talking to him yesterday. He declined to speak altogether. In fact, it was actually a pretty skillful display of avoiding us. The way it works is after these practices, you get like a 30-minute media window where it's sort of a free-for-all. And Kyle was the only guy yesterday who didn't speak to the media. He did everything else that he could think of. He was stretching. He was talking to people. But he did say he would speak today, and we expected him to speak. It's what he said that was sort of the bigger question. So we've seen this from him before, where if he doesn't want to talk about a certain topic, he'll change it to another. It was interesting to me that DeMar DeRozan, the guy who was actually traded and would theoretically have more of a reason to avoid us, was especially cooperative yesterday. He gave me a one-on-one. We talked for a while. He was great. And Kyle, the guy who wasn't traded, has chosen to approach it this way, but that's Kyle for you. And this wasn't a surprise, as I said. I often call him a rebel without a cause. Sometimes he's just difficult for the sake of being difficult. So it's hard to say if this was Kyle just being Kyle, or if maybe he was trying to send some kind of message to a team that just traded his best friend.
Well, that may very well be the case. I would assume it more than likely is. But I think Kyle Lowry needs to get over himself real quick, because I don't have a problem with DeMar DeRozan being upset, being angry. He can take as much time as he wants to. I would understand if Lowry is disappointed. I would think he would. We all know about the relationship between Kyle and DeMar. But this was just, it came off as so unnecessary and so childish, quite frankly. I mean, this is a guy who is a big part of the puzzle up here in Toronto. They're paying him a fortune. An absolute fortune. DeMar's not his teammate anymore. Kawhi is his teammate. This would have been so easy for him to just come out, make a statement, say that he's going to miss DeMar, say that he doesn't really know Kawhi, but he's looking forward to playing with him and getting to know him, and then we move on. But because Kyle wasn't willing to do that, now it's going to morph into a bigger conversation about whether or not he's sour, will he be acceptant of Kawhi Leonard in the locker room? Because Kyle, it's his room. I mean, Kawhi has got to find a way to work with Kyle, but it's got to be a two-way street. Lowry's got to be willing to work with Kawhi Leonard.
That's the biggest thing, Brian, because he's the guy now in that locker room for 6 years now. It had been a sort of a co-leadership situation with Lowry and DeRozan at the top, and especially now over the last few years as this has become a very young team, guys look to those two all-stars. Now you remove one of them from the room, and yeah, I mean, DeMar was a quiet leader, but he was still a leader, a well-respected guy, and a guy, for better or for worse, would always face the media and face whatever. I mean, he would always be accountable after a win or after a loss, even on days when Lowry didn't feel like it. So in a lot of ways, DeMar was sort of a way to deflect for Kyle. Now, as you mentioned, you bring in a guy like Kawhi, who certainly, if he's healthy, he's an exceptional player, but he's not very vocal. He's not going to be a leader in that regard, and even if he was, he's still a new guy on the team. They're going to need Kyle to step up here, and that's why I think, from a team perspective, this was probably pretty disappointing, certainly not what Masai Ujiri wanted to hear today. And I've got to say, I mean, I expect more from Kyle Lowry, and I expected more from Kyle Lowry in this case because he's a guy that should get this more than most, because he's lived the business. We all say it's a business. He's lived it for the last 10 years. He's been traded. He's seen other good friends get traded. Remember, he was just as close with Rudy Gay 5 years ago as he is with DeMar DeRozan. Now Rudy Gay is the godfather of his oldest son, and he got over that pretty quick. Ultimately, I figured DeMar DeRozan is about winning more than anything else. And I think most people believe this team is a whole lot better now, theoretically, at least on paper, than they were 10 days ago. So you'd figure Lowry would see that, appreciate that. And while, yeah, it's tough to lose your buddy, you think he'd be all about the bottom line and the business at hand. So I'm a little bit surprised today that he wasn't.
You know, Josh, meantime, DeMar DeRozan is still clearly stinging from the trade. And your interview with him yesterday was really powerful. I mean, he's not holding back, and he's devastated.
No, and that bit on Masai Ujiri yesterday, too, that was as strong as it comes. He did not mince words when he was asked if he plans on having any kind of relationship with the Raptors president ever again. He said, no, flat out, it's done for me. It's done. And, I mean, they were not going to have very much of a relationship for the foreseeable future, and that's understandable. It's a guy that had just traded him. It's the GM, president of a different team. You don't have a relationship with that guy immediately, of course. Dwayne Casey, I think, is in the same boat, having been fired by Masai. But to rule out having any kind of contact with that guy forever is pretty strong. DeMar is hurt. He's clearly taken this very, very personally. And a lot of people are critical of that, and I get it. But sort of whether or not you agree with how he's taking this situation, or whether or not you even like the trade, you sort of understand and feel for a guy in this situation who he's gone, he's dealt with a lot, both personally and now professionally over the last year. He maybe foolishly believed that he had earned the right to, if not be a Raptor for life, to get a heads up before being traded. But as we know, and now as DeMar knows, that's just not how the business works. And I keep saying this about Masai, is while, yeah, maybe he could have and maybe he should have kept DeMar in the loop a little bit more, the Raptors are one of the NBA's biggest close-to-the-chest organizations as it is. They don't leak anything. And while that means not leaking things directly to the media, it also means not leaking things or oversharing with players and agents, because that's how information gets out, is through players and through agents. So Masai was not going to risk tipping off other teams by giving DeMar that extra heads up. He would have had no incentive to keep the fact that he was being traded to himself. So I get both sides of this. I think the reality, though, is there's no easy way to break up with someone. There's no easy way to fire somebody or trade somebody. However, change was going to happen here, and it seemed like an inevitability at this point that change was going to happen in some way. However it was going to happen, somebody was going to be upset over this, and now they're just going to have to get over it and move past it.
With Josh Lewenberg, I wonder if another part of the issue with DeMar was how, just prior to the trade, Nick Nurse was doing interviews and was telling everyone that he was going to make DeMar a better player, and that DeMar was going to buy in defensively, and he wasn't going to hide DeMar anymore, which essentially just accentuated the weaknesses of DeMar DeRozan. And then like a week later, he gets flipped. You caught up with Nick Nurse. He's down there in Vegas. He's got to be happy with this, right? I mean, I know that the team is dealing with turnover and change, and there's a lot of uncertainty, but he's got, for a guy who knows that defensively they've got to get better and something has to change in terms of player personnel with the playoffs, how has Nick Nurse responded to the news over the past week?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, and there's two things that sort of stood out about the conversation and stand out about Nurse in general. He mentioned back a few weeks ago after he got hired that one of the questions Masai Ujiri asked in the interview is, how would you handle, or would you be okay with a potentially big roster-altering move between now and the regular season? How would you adjust to it? And Nick's answer, I think, in part, helped him get the job. He said, listen, I spent all these years in the D-League where the roster changes almost every day with guys getting called up and called down, adaptability is what he's all about. So I think that's one of the reasons why he was hired. That's one of the reasons now where he's able to look at this and say, okay, well, some of those principles that he was still planning on employing, the offensive changes, the defensive changes, all that still applies. But going back to that kind of overarching story when he got hired, the idea of thinking outside of the box and being unique, being an innovator, that just became a whole lot easier for him. Because let's face it, an innovator is only as good as the pieces he has to innovate with. And while you might want to play a certain way, if you don't have the personnel to play that way, it's probably not going to go very well. With all due respect to DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl, both good players, DeMar is a two that primarily covers twos and maybe threes and not very well a lot of the time. And Jakob Poeltl is a five who primarily guards fives. In exchange for those two players, the Raptors got two guys, both of whom can play and defend at least three positions. Both of them have been named to all NBA defensive teams before. They can both shoot the three ball. So all of a sudden, there are a lot of creative and unique lineup combinations that Nick Nurse can throw out there, a lot of different things that he can do. And what he told me is that offensively, things are more or less the same. Kawhi can do a lot of the things that DeMar can, maybe a little bit more, and maybe he's a little bit more versatile. But where he sees the biggest room for improvement now after the trade is defensively, where they plan on being a lot more aggressive, looking to create turnovers and get more possessions. And, of course, they have maybe the best defender in the NBA and one of the best perimeter defenders of all time. And I don't even think that's an exaggeration. That's how good Kawhi is when he's healthy. They have that piece to work with now.
Enjoy it out there, Josh. We'll do it again down the road. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter live from Vegas, catching up with Nick Nurse, one-on-ones with DeMar, in the scrum with Kyle Lowry. Lots going on. So shout out to Josh. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine and tee up a busy weekend next. All right, Gord, are you back in here next week? Or?
No, I'm in Kamloops, B.C. for the World Junior Summer Showcase. Canada, USA, Sweden, and Finland. Then I go to Edmonton for the Gretzky-Hlinka under-18 tournaments. My hockey season starts next week.
That should be good. Gearing up for the World Juniors.
It's good to see those guys in the summer. I get to talk to them then, and when they're not under the sort of scrutiny of the tournament, and to see them, you know, put face to the names.
There you go. Because you're going to get to call their games at some point, right?
Well, those under-18 kids will play in the World Junior in 2 years.
There you go. Or in the NHL. In 4 or 5.
Well, or the NHL in 2. Well, those are the kids that are up for next year's draft, next summer's draft.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. The Yankees are all freaking out because Judge is hurt.
Going crazy.
Kansas City tonight. They're paying $325.
That's a mistake.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take Baltimore tonight.
No, wait.
I'm taking Baltimore to shock the world. In Houston at home against Texas, I have to take one quality team. Okay. Throw down 20, you can score 156. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
My poll on Twitter, red peppers first. Green second, orange third, yellow fourth.
What a race.
So green pepper is not the worst pepper, according to our listeners.
What's important to note, red pepper, the best pepper out there. All right, Gord, we'll catch you down the road, man.
Sounds good, a couple weeks.
There you go. This is Gord Miller. I'm Brian Hayes. I'm out of here. Enjoy your weekends. Back on Monday at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.